Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Open my lips and only your word would be spoken. Open our ears and only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if someone were to just look at our readings this morning, you might think that surely there must be some kind of a common theme through these readings. They're not readings taken from the lectionary for this season, but rather my thought, as I believe through prayer, is to continue to address the current world events, the current situations that we have around us, the fear, the trepidation, the anxieties. The Bible has a lot to say about what we're going through, and I believe one of the messages we're going to focus on this morning is the might of God. God is almighty. And so we see, as we again reflect through the events leading up to the resurrection of Jesus, this reading this morning from Jesus' arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus told Peter to put away his sword. He said this, "Do you not think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" That's a very easily overlooked passage in the midst of all the other things that seem to be happening. I've never heard that mentioned as far as a passion narrative for Lent or Easter season. But Jesus says, goes to appeal to the Father, he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels. A legion is about 5,000 soldiers. So that's over 60,000 angels. Jesus said, if I want, I can just call down 60,000 angels. Those who came to arrest Jesus would never have stood a chance. On the one hand, this easily overlooked fact provides remarkable evidence of the great love that Jesus has for us. He could have stopped it all at any time. He could have stopped it all at any time. Appeal to the Father, send me 12 legions of angels. So he went to the cross willingly for us. The other thing this tells us is that the awesome power of God is beyond our comprehension. Can we fathom 60,000 powerful angels coming down to do God's work? Well, it's not unique in the scriptures. As we hear in the Old Testament, three instances I want to mention this morning. The first, in the book of Judges, chapters 7 and 8, we hear the story of Gideon. Roughly, this is about 1100 B.C., story of Gideon. You remember about Gideon putting out the golden fleece, or the fleece, the wet and dry. Gideon was told by God, visited by an angel. The angel said, God wants to use you to save his people from this oppression of the Midianites. And as we see with others, like Moses and so forth, Gideon is like, are you sure you've got the right person? Don't you want someone else? I'm the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest of tribes. I'm not much. And so another lesson there about how God uses those who don't seem to have much capability. That's what God seems to want to use, is people who are available, not so much able. So God said, yes, I want to use you to go against the Midianites. In the beginning, as Gideon set out, he had 32,000 men. It's pretty good. But they were going against an army of Midianites of 135,000. That's against a 4-to-1 times the enemy. Gideon had 32,000 men against 135,000, and God told Gideon, he says, Gideon, you've got too many. Got too many. What? What? I got 32,000 against 135,000. It describes them like locusts to fill the mountainside. God says, Gideon, you got too many men. And God told him, he says, I don't want you to think that you're the ones who came about this victory. I don't want you to be able to vote and say, oh, look what great warriors we are. So I want to make sure you know that it is the power of God that will deliver you today. And so they went through the things, and eventually Gideon sent all but 300 back home. So before it was 4-1, now it's now 300 against 135,000. It's now 40-1 are the odds. God is going to work. What happened? Gideon was victorious. How? Well, told, the Lord set every man's sword against his comrade and against all the army. In other words, God caused confusion in the Midian camp. The Midianites went in about killing one another. And God brought about the victory by his hand, not by the hand of man. 40-1 odds. And God was victorious. Another example, second, we heard in a reading from 2 Chronicles. This is the story of Jehoshaphat. His first name, Jumpin. You've heard that? That's not in the text, but it's our grandparents told us that. Jumpin. Jumpin Jehoshaphat. You never heard Jumpin Jehoshaphat? Okay, I guess maybe it's a Jersey thing. Jehoshaphat, this is about 900 BC. Jehoshaphat was king of Jerusalem. Again, armies were coming against, this time three armies, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Meunites. And so Jehoshaphat prayed to God. And God's response, as we heard, is, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Wonderful. The battle is not yours, but God's. So what happened? Quote, we're told, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir so that they were routed. They all helped to destroy one another. Again, God sent a spirit of confusion upon them, and they turned one another and killed one another. And so again, the city was saved. And who gets credit? God did it. God did it. A third example is about King Hezekiah. This is about the year 700 BC. This is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 19. The mighty Assyrian army was coming against King Hezekiah and Jerusalem. Jerusalem did not stand a chance. The Assyrians had gone and conquered all the surrounding cities, all the fortified cities. They had destroyed them. And now they were coming against Jerusalem, the mighty Assyrian army. So Hezekiah prayed, and God said to Hezekiah, I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. At this point, when he's talking about the servant David, as you in the scriptures, he's talking about my servant Messiah. So he's saying, for my sake and for the sake of my Messiah, Jesus, I will save this city. I will defend it. So what happened? That night, the angel of the Lord, says, angel one, went out and struck down 185,000 men in the camp of the Assyrians. An angel goes out and destroys 185,000 of the Assyrians. And the city was again saved. Who gets the credit? God did it. God did it. These are awesome examples. We love these Old Testament stories. They just teach us such about God that is relevant for today. So getting back to Jesus, well, Peter, he could call down 60,000 angels. He wasn't kidding. He wasn't kidding. Any time he could have called down 12 legions of angels, and they would have saved him and protected him and set him free. But willingly, he did not do that. Willingly, he went to the cross for us. So the question today, in light of world events, what lessons do we learn of these stories, from these stories? With Gideon, God does not need thousands and thousands of worshipers to bring about his kingdom. He only needs a few hundred faithful prayer warriors. God does not need a whole big army. He just needs a few faithful, dedicated prayer warriors. As with Jehoshaphat, do not be afraid. The battle is not yours, but God's. we're dealing with today, what we're fighting against, it's praying against. The battle's not ours. The battle is God. And then with Hezekiah, God said, I will defend this city. I believe I will defend this church to save it for my own sake. For my own sake. We say to God, well, Lord, don't you love us? Don't you care? Let me tell you. It's for my sake, for my name's sake, I am going to save the city, save my church, for the sake of my name. And he will do it. We live in a world paralyzed by fear. Fear of sickness, fear of suffering, fear of death, fear of financial loss. Many businesses are having tremendous trouble. And God's word today is, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The battle belongs to the Lord, and he will save us for his name's sake. We who pray to him will be delivered. He who willingly gave his own for us will not leave us nor forsake us. I talked about holding on to scripture passages, and two of them I wanted to share with you today. Again, to remind us not only of the might of God, but also here for us. This is Matthew chapter 10. Verse 29, not two sparrows sold for a penny, not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father. Isn't that an amazing statement? Is God worried about the details? Not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Wow. What a statement. What a promise. And so we cling to those promises. And as with Jehoshaphat, when he prayed, there's several things in there. It could have been a sermon on just that. Prayer to God. Oh Lord, we are powerless against this great horde. Sometimes we feel that way, don't we? Helpless. We are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do. Our eyes are on you. Keep our eyes on God, for he is faithful. He is true. He is God Almighty. So I believe our message today, in the midst of all that we see going on in the world, and the fears, the anxieties, the frustrations of people, is that we do trust in a God who is mighty, who has promised to save us, not for our sake, but for his sake. And so like Jehoshaphat, keep our eyes on Jesus, because God is bigger than any problem we have, any problem that is in the world. The kingdom of God is upon us. The best is yet to come, because God is almighty, and God loves us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. Oh God, save us. You sent your son Jesus to die for us, who willingly went to the cross, will not abandon us nor forsake us. And so, Lord God, we put our trust in you. This hour, this day, the days ahead, the weeks ahead, the months ahead. We pray for our nation, for all, Lord, who are suffering paralysis, fear, anxieties. Bless us, Lord, to have faith in you. Strengthen us in that faith, that we may live in peace, and to the power of your Holy Spirit in us, that you will save us and drive out our enemies from us. All that you give thanks to you in he who made it possible, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.